Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, depending on your position on this great earth. My name is Ryan Ozawa. I'm the Emerging Technology Editor at Decrypt, and you are watching Decrypting AI, our weekly talk story chat session about artificial intelligence and other emerging technologies. And as always, I am joined by the intrepid, talented, handsome Jason Nelson. How are you doing in Los Angeles this morning?
I am well, sir. We actually have some sunlight. That's helpful.
quite helpful. Something that we have in some abundance here in Honolulu, but April being what it is, it's also sometimes soggy. Well, I'm glad to see you for another conversation about what's going on in AI. We will start out the ad set, Slim Pickens, because we were kind of focused on the halving on the Bitcoin side. Did you stay up for any of that excitement, Jason?
I did, and as with the hash war, I was kind of let down. I thought there was going to be a little bit more, you know, fireworks going off and stuff, but mostly it was like people on Twitter, like the meme where the people are looking at the screen, then they're holding up the candle, and then they're looking back at the screen.
Yeah, it came and it went. Actually, that's right. We did wall-to-wall coverage of the halving leading up to it, and we were halvinged out by the time the halving actually came. The fascinating thing was it barely made it into 420, like, you know, a little after, like 10 minutes after midnight UTC. But here in Hawaii, it was in the middle of the afternoon. It was pretty cool. But anyway, despite all that,
I think we did amazing coverage on that because we were on it when it came to like when it happened. We had post, you know, we got the Twitter reactions, crypto Twitter and things like that. So we were on it. And you know, one of the things I love about working with you is that you're good on spotting. We should do this. We should do this. We should do this. So yeah,
we did the entire team. You put the crypto Twitter host. Guillermo put out the "It Actually Happened." I think he was the first to actually post. Yeah. And I had done the price action post, which turns out there was no price action. But let's get to artificial intelligence. And our first story just filed yesterday by our great colleague, Jose, a report out by Google that said that users of artificial intelligence assistants could get unusually emotionally attached to them. Now, we've seen this story in various forms, including attachments to, shall we say, dolls in Japan and other, you know, companions that are not real. But I can certainly see the point of Google in this report saying that because AI is becoming more pervasive in all of our technology, and the report notes, particularly if you give this AI assistant an avatar, a face, some kind of presentation that represents a person, that humans might begin to just rather talk to them than deal with regular humans, withdraw from social activities, and you know, just become slightly less emotionally stable. Has this happened to you, Jason?
Not personally, thank goodness. But I did cover something similar to this last year when the whole AI boom started. The conversation then, though, was because everyone was putting AI into everything. And so, you know, people were talking about putting AI in toys, things that children interact with. And like this report, the conversation was around, can a child become emotionally attached to their AI toy? And this is more of the, I guess you could say, the adult version, where if you think about it, even right now, like ChatGPT has the ability to tweak how it responds to you. You can do that in your settings. And you can have it respond to you like a partner, like a significant other, like, you know, someone who likes you, not just likes you. you know, you can have it do that. And I just feel that them giving that the ability leads to issues like what Google DeepMind is referring to right here.
Right.
You know, like if your chatbot keeps calling you handsome, eventually your brain is going to be like, someone thinks I'm handsome. and it's
well, I tell you have some every week, and I do like you, but I see your point. What I wanted to bring up with this story was I used a email AI assistant 8 years ago, like 2016, called Amy Ingram was the, you know, the name, of course, AI being the initials. And it was a company called XAI, not the XAI we know today, but a different XAI, probably the previous owner of the .x.ai domain name. But it was a email scheduling assistant. And if you just copied Amy at x.ai on any email and said, let's meet Jason, Amy would jump in and go, Jason, when are you available? And then it would check against my calendar and write to you in a very human kind of mode and helps get set up a meeting. And only after you and Amy said, okay, it'll be Thursday at 7 o'clock, you would have put it on the calendar. Like, it was, I mean, for its time, now it seems like, you know, your phone probably does it by itself, but for its time, it was pretty advanced. But what the company noted was that people started flirting with Amy and asking it on dates and if they were located in Manhattan, which is where the company was based, and people actually showed up at the XAI offices with flowers and chocolate. Like, they want to meet this very sweet, very real person named Amy Ingram, which was just an AI assistant. So this is something that's been going on for at least a decade. I think it's smart too.
We reference that movie Her all the time, you know, Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. And, you know, what's that? Life imitating art. Art imitating life. It's like, so it's just like, let's do that.
People say that Star Trek inspired real life technology, so maybe.
Right. The communicators, the cell phone, But But some of these companies are going a little bit overboard with it. Like, I saw this one guy on Twitter last week where not only did it have an AI you could talk to, it had a little box that you could, let's say, interact with.
Box.
And I'm like, you know what? That's too much.
is this a Saturday Night Live style box is what you're saying?
Okay, so you remember the Dune popcorn boxes? So think about it. It's like that.
Okay. I was thinking of a completely different box. Let's change the subject very quickly to another uplifting, non-awkward conversation. This was your reporting, Jason, a pretty big industry movement. So what's going on here?
So several companies, OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, Anthropic, Metaphysic, joined together with two nonprofits. Thorn is one of them. And Tech is Human is the other one. And basically they came together to pledge that they will do what they can to stop their AI models from being used to create child abuse material. And, you know, it's funny because you would think saying that would be, you know, it should be a foregone conclusion, right? Like, you would assume that they already, you know, but I guess this is that public statement that they all want to make, that saying we do this, that, you know, we're dedicated to this. Most of your models, at least the public ones, though, that I've come across, Anthropic, even Gemini before that kind of went sideways, have pretty big restrictions on what you could tell it to create. So what this would really, I think, besides making a big statement, would also be drawing attention to the models that you can self-host, right, the ones that you can download on your computer that don't need cloud access to work, because they mention where you post your models, different websites that showcase different AI models. Not saying that it's this company, but as an example, like on Hugging Face. right? You can go to Hugging Face and find all kinds of AI models that you can just download to your computer. So it's like, okay, we need to put a little bit more of a clamp on that so that it can't be used. Even if it's an older model, it can still do it. So just monitor where you put your AI models, monitor the guardrails you put in place. They even mentioned stress testing, so red teaming your AI models to make sure it can't do these things. Because we've covered several times that people will try to jailbreak these models to make it do something it's not supposed to.
So the report has a couple of visual examples. Certainly, I mean, they're not explicit, so don't worry about that. But, you know, basically how the prompts might work. But a lot of big players, Microsoft, OpenAI, Amazon, you know, pretty much every player in the space that I could think of was on this list. And they talk about specifically that, and as you, I think you covered in that previous story, is that it's one thing when we were dealing with this kind of material with human victims and trying to track it, and you could take fingerprints of the images without actually looking at the images and then detect this image across the internet. But now you're talking about something that can be 100% original out of the gate. It wouldn't work with any of those fingerprinting technologies. They had stats that we're talking about, you know, they were tracking about 800,000 files like this in 2022, and now 104 million just in last year, or actually no, total up to last year. So it's becoming a problem that's technologically difficult to stem from the detection side. So it makes sense that they want to put more controls on the generation side.
Right. And one of the, I remember speaking to the Internet Watch Foundation last year. And one of the things that, well, you kind of touched on it just now, that hamper the discovery and elimination of this material is that the investigator can't look at it either. So you have to know the tricks to actually identify the image without it actually being something that you have on your computer too, because now you're doing what the other person's doing, and you know, it becomes a whole big legal thing there. So they use code to get around that. So like an example would be like how a photograph you take with your iPhone or Android is geotagged by default. So it says when and where it was taken. So it'd be something similar to that.
Right, which raises all sorts of privacy concerns. Like, oh, every time I use DALL-E or OpenAI, it puts a little signature with my IP address and email account or something. I mean, it's fascinating that, as usual, it's controls that are put in place to stop bad actors that's going to ensnare people who are hopefully, for the most part, not doing anything wrong. Let's move on to Jose's story, also from just the last couple of days, or no, this was last week, I think. It's been kind of an exciting development. It is the deployment of Llama 3 by Meta. Of course, Meta being enormous, and Llama 2 already being the foundational open source model on which a number of other AI tools are based on. They've put out their big upgrade, Llama 3, and by all measures, this one is, well, kicking butt just as much as you might expect. A lot of different manufacturers or makers of AI tools rely on Llama 2, but you can already use Llama 3 just by firing up WhatsApp or Instagram or Facebook. So they had such a great deal of confidence in this that when they released it, they put it in front of their million or billion users out there. I think the only downside that Jose talked about was that the context window is smaller than some of the competitors. So it might lose things early on in the conversation as it goes on, or you can't paste in the entire text of a novel and have it summarize it. It has a smaller window than that. Have you been able to play with Llama 3?
I have. And I will say it's impressive. It's very impressive as far as the images it can kick back. I think my complaint as far as Llama 3 compared to DALL-E and ChatGPT is that it's easier to make larger size pictures in DALL-E 3, because that's something you could tell it to do. I tried, like, you could say, create an image that's big enough for a desktop wallpaper. That's how we do our images for our articles.
Okay.
But with Llama 3 inside of Meta AI that they released, you can't just tell it to do that. It won't. It stays the same square picture. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but all the prompts I've thrown at it to try to do that, I haven't been able to, but it's probably just not entering the right prompt. But it's easier to do it on DALL-E 3 ChatGPT.
Since we did talk about it just in our last story, Jose points out that it's got all the guardrails and controls in place to prevent the creation of inappropriate content, I suppose, and answering questions that might be sensitive. Some pretty good statistics. You mentioned Hugging Face. They have a good leaderboard. You can always check that to see how people are using it. What I was impressed by, again, this is Llama. It's from Meta. It's open source. It's available to anybody. It also helped him design an app or write an app. You know, it kind of was gibberish the first time. He goes, no, I need it in Python. And then when he said, put it in Python, it ran, it executed. So
yeah,
some pretty, and he even put the code of his app on the article. So again,
now, very impressive. If you scroll down a bit more, you can see the images.
Oh, okay.
He did a cat with a hamburger.
Oh, right. Cat with a hamburger. Here we go.
There you go. So the other thing that I like about Llama 3 and Meta AI is that it gives you options when it creates your picture. So, okay, so here's what you asked for, but here are three other options that you can choose from.
Yes.
The biggest, I would say, selling point to Llama 3 is you can animate the pictures. That is next level. So you create what you want to do, and then you click animate, and it'll do like a 3-second movement. And that's pretty cool. You can download that's pretty cool. And
the three options is good. I mean, when you use even DALL-E, I think from OpenAI, it takes several seconds to generate, and then you're like, that's not quite right. You want to keep the prompt, but you want them to just give it another go. So the three options is good. Even the AI in Photoshop does that too. And you're like, I want to erase this background, and it goes, how's this? And how is this? And how is this? So definitely good.
Yeah, and I think the with DALL-E, at least from my experience, if you give it the same exact prompt again, it'll create a different picture than the last one.
Yes, yes.
And that's very frustrating. You know, like, oh, I want a picture of a Bitcoin floating from the sky. And it'll do Bitcoin. It'll do there'll be a dog next to it. Wrong coin.
Yeah, you can't say this is exactly what I want, but I just want this slight change. It's a completely new thing. Well, this is a related story, and I think we pretty much talked about it. Your coverage was specifically about the part where their new chatbot powered by amazing Llama 3 is in all of these different apps. Did you attempt to have a conversation with it in either WhatsApp, Instagram, or Facebook?
So I tried all of them. The one thing I really do like about how this is working out is your images translate between their apps. So if you open Meta AI's interface on Instagram, create an image, it'll show up in meta.ai, the website, which I think is pretty cool. I didn't like that they just put it there. Because, you know, I'm looking at my Instagram, and then I close my Instagram, and then when I open it up again, there's an AI in it. I'm like, you're not even going to give us the option to opt out of this? You're just going to put it in there?
Of course not.
Right? And I have seen concerns on social media about their AI and WhatsApp. because people use WhatsApp, the idea is end-to-end encryption and things like that. So it's very popular to use. But can this thing hear it? Can it monitor what you're saying is what the conversation is? You would think end-to-end encryption, the answer would be no. But you won't know until the FBI comes knocking on your door or something. Yeah. You know?
Well,
so it's like...
Yeah, it's also on the end user side, so it could be on the inside of your encrypted conversation. So that might be a rationalization where it can learn from what you're interested in and what you're talking about. But even if that stays in that transition between you and the other person, not ideal. I remember the example that stood out to me was you could engage with this Llama 3 chatbot in Facebook groups. And the widely reported example was in a parenting group where people were like, hey, what is the best preschool like in my neighborhood? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And because of AI and hallucination, and because it's trained on Facebook data, the AI agent in the Facebook group said, well, my son goes to Les Jardins Academy over on South Street, and I really recommend it. And like, huh?
What?
You have a kid? So pretty well. But yeah.
If you think about it, I would imagine if I was sitting in Meta's office and we were talking about why we're doing this, the answer would probably be marketing. That, like you said, it can hear what you're saying and offer you, you know, products and services based on what you're saying. But at the same time, that means it's listening. So there is a privacy thing there that I'm not sold on just yet, because it's like, well, it's like when we're in like when you're using Google Meets or even Zoom now, there's an AI assistant that pops up. Like, why is that there? And it's not something that you can, okay, I want to download this to add it to my thing. It's just there already, you know? And it's like, okay, so what part of what Ryan and I are saying can you hear? And so there's a privacy thing that I'm a little concerned about with this rapid deployment of all these AI tools.
It's definitely a marketing thing. I mean, OpenAI enjoys the largest mind share in the marketplace. People just think ChatGPT, even though it's sort of a generic term. When people talk about chatbots, they're largely talking about OpenAI's product. But I think that what Meta is doing quite deliberately by putting these things into all of their popular apps, not opt in right out of the gate, is that they want to be able to say that we have by far the most everyday average muggle human users of our AI services than any other company, which is instantly and automatically true as a result. But if that can hallucinate having kids and give you that kind of advice, when we were the first story we talked about being overly attached to your AI assistant, and the example that Jose included was, you know, the AI that said, yeah, your life does pretty much suck. Maybe you should kill yourself. Like, you know, these are not necessarily well-tested things. So it's a good reason for cause.
Well,
for
concern. We can never forget the example of the guy in the UK whose replica girlfriend, they allegedly said he should try to kill Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, I mean, that right there should have been, okay, it shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, I will definitely need to be careful not to ask an AI assistant for any personal advice, and I would encourage our viewers to do the same. We have consumed yet another near half an hour of your valuable time to discussing AI and a little bit of the halving on the Bitcoin side here. So I think it's time to sign off. I'm Ryan Ozawa. This is Jason. Jason, why don't you take it away?
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us again on Decrypting AI. If you'd like to follow along with us on social media, Ryan is at Hawaii and I am at Dragonwolf Tech. And you can see all of our stories at decrypt.co and follow Decrypt on social media.
That's right. Decrypt Media. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Decrypting AI.
Have a good week.